So you recently did a study under the auspices of CU, and the upshot of your study is that mountain residents often overestimate their fire preparedness. Can you go into some detail?
Yeah, so this is a project that we did in the Bailey area of Colorado. Specifically, our partners were Platte Canyon Fire Protection District. And we worked in one large community within that larger fire protection district. Our research seeks to provide insights into how homeowners are living with wildfire, what they know, what their experience is, what they're doing to mitigate their risk. And there are two main goals. Part of what I'm doing as a researcher at the university is collecting data that's contributing to the scientific endeavor of understanding the social processes. But we're also partnering with local organizations like Platte Canyon Fire Protection District to collect locally relevant data that's systematic so that we can provide those data to our partners so they can improve the programs that they are developing and using to try to inform residents about their risk, encourage them to prepare for wildfire risk, promote and enable mitigation of the risks that they face.
And the study, while it was conducted in Bailey, could be extrapolated to any mountain community.
Well, that's not quite true, because our work is trying to understand what social processes are true across varied communities. So we've done work in communities across Colorado, in Washington State, Wyoming, Utah, Oregon, and our process is systematic. And so we're collecting some of the same data across all those places so that we can learn which pieces of it are relevant across the different communities. So for example, we have found across all our study sites, the people who talk with their neighbors about wildfire risk are doing more mitigation on their private properties. Now, we don't know exactly what mechanisms are happening within there, but we know when they talk together, things happen. It could be that they're sharing information. It could be that they're confirming that there's something to be done. It could be any number of things, but we know that that is true. But we also find that there are really big differences in these little communities. And so, by collecting these systematic data across all these places, we're actually able to identify what is unique to a local community and then use those data to provide information for our partners so they can really target the dynamic that's happening in their community.
Can you go over for our listeners what is meant by wildland-urban interface?
Yeah, so the general definition of the wildland-urban interface is the place where human developments, so communities, homes, businesses, structures, intermix and intermingle with wildland fuels. So that can be from grasslands to forested areas. And it's often the place where private lands abut and intermix with public lands. And so you have a really unique land hazard and natural resource management dilemma, where you have lots of different people and players across basically a mosaic landscape that have perhaps different management goals on those pieces.
Let's talk about evacuations. What did you learn about people's perceptions of their readiness as it relates to evacuations?
Well, in this, in the Platte Canyon Fire Protection District study, we actually found a relatively high level of signups for the reverse 911. So in that area, among those who responded to the survey, 73% of the respondents had already signed up for Code Red, which is their local reverse 911. So those residents would get a phone call telling them, or a text alerting them, that they may need to prepare for or indeed evacuate. But even though we found that high level of signups, we still found that residents had a lot of information needs related to evacuation.
What are we talking about in terms of fire mitigation, removing fuels? What can homeowners do?
Yeah, so when we talk about wildfire risk reduction for private property owner, there's a whole bunch of activities that go from very small, very low cost activities, such as removing the grasses in the 5 foot space around the home, and at the first home ignition zone space, that first five feet. There's thinning out trees. There's removing the limbs from the lower parts of the tree so that the fire can't climb up those lower branches and get into the canopy. There's also actions like taking the firewood and moving it away from the home, the structure. People often like to pile their firewood right under the deck or near the home, and that is a really big hazard. Also having combustible items such as outdoor furniture or barbecue grills that are near the home can cause a serious hazard, not just with the likelihood of ignition, but also if there's a firefighter on premise, they can also be very dangerous for them. And so the fire departments are really focused on, and the firefighters are focused on, this home ignition zone and reducing the likelihood of the home igniting. And so that also entails regular maintenance work, like removing the leaf and pine needle litter from gutters and from the little places where it may gather up against the structure.